had over 17 million evangelical Christians who either weren't registered to vote, that was about 9 million, or they didn't turn out to vote, 8 million. And then when you go to the broader Christian population of Catholics and others, 40 million didn't vote. So the first thing is, you know, you look at trends in that. We had a great turnout in the midterms, and that's encouraging. We got to keep motivating, inspiring people. But then again, we look, and especially a lot of young voters, I mean, you know, when Taylor Swift speaks out against, you know, in Tennessee, a particular wonderful Christian lady who became our United States Senator, you know, she influences 100 million people.
And I don't know that she did. It doesn't like she did.
Yeah. I think a lot of people reacted to that, but something was going on. And again, do celebrities influence? I don't know, but I do know this, that 64% of young voters in this last midterm supported left-wing candidates and policies.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
There's a lot of hate in America today, and the accusations fly back and forth about who the real haters are. In recent years, the targets have included Catholics, evangelical Christians, and pro-family organizations. And these groups have had a common adversary in the form of the Southern Poverty Law Center, a progressive 501c3 nonprofit that is anything but nonpartisan. It equates traditional Christianity with neo-Nazis, the KKK, and the Aryan Nations. It's also pushed the false narrative of President Trump being a white nationalist, and it's fed a narrative that the 75% of white evangelicals who voted for Republicans in the midterm elections are motivated by hate. Those of us on the political right see ourselves as victims of hatred, and many high-profile Republicans have found themselves threatened and harassed in public. A lot of the hatred and allegations of hate are connected to the Judeo-Christian position on homosexuality and transgenderism. Given the climate in the country, we can expect harassment of conservatives to continue. Joining me today to discuss the current climate in America for Bible-believing Christians and other conservatives is Larry Tomczak. Larry, a cultural commentator, is a regular columnist for Charisma News, a board member of Intercessors for America, and an advisor for Liberty Counsel. He's also author of the video book, Bullseye. So let's welcome Larry to the Be the People show on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Well, Carol, it's an honor to be with you and to be able to share with you and the audience today that are listening, because it's obvious from what you've said there and what we see daily, we're living in most interesting times. And even as I went into the Publix store this morning, there was the headline screaming from USA Today, big letters, hatred in America. So we've got our work cut out for us. And I'm personally excited about the opportunities, though, that are before us.
How so?
Well, I think what we're facing is the battle for the soul of our country, and we've got to do our part to awaken people this. There's all the shifts that are taking place, and we have, I would say, leftist-leaning individuals that are trying to, number one, gain political power, and then, number two, they want to remove our Judeo-Christian foundations, because those represent a bulwark to their quote, progressive plans. And then they want to, we also know, reshape the thinking, the minds of vulnerable young people. And so propaganda and deception, we're awash in that. And even, you know, just recent midterms, I saw the two polls afterwards that half of millennials would rather live under socialism and communism than capitalism.
We both know that comes from ignorance.
Right. And that's where our work's cut out for us, and we have the opportunity, as you are doing so wonderfully on Be the People, and I try with my weekly commentaries, is to inform people. We're called to be salt. We want people to influence others in a winsome way. And we got to cut through a lot of stuff. I just heard recently, you know, the one of the, I think, likely presidential candidates, Governor Cuomo of New York, you know, he said, well, it's time for us not to be a Republican or a Democrat, and we just need to be Americans and be civil. And I thought, yeah, but you're also provoking us with statements you may recall he made before that, where he said, you know, quote, conservatives are extreme, and they have no place in the state of New York if they're pro-life, pro-traditional marriage, support Second Amendment gun rights. So it's a polarized time, but I think it's an opportune time for us to really communicate the truth and do it by listening, by being respectful of individuals, but then looking for opportunities like you're doing with the podcast. I do something similar, the commentaries, videos, whatever we can. We really need to communicate from a biblical worldview and help people who are being deceived and are ignorant. And they really, especially young people, they're caught up on the internet. They're not reading a lot of this, and they're not paying attention to a lot of this, but they're being seduced.
How do you avoid preaching to the choir? Because people who tune in to me and to you are people that probably share our values. And given the left-leaning media, how are you able, or how do we reach that wider public that would not knowingly seek out either one of our shows?
Well, I think this is where we have the opportunity with social media today, where many, obviously, young people are at. And so through, I put daily dispatches and pieces out on Facebook and on Twitter, and I use videos. I have a project I call the Bullseye Challenge, where I put 30 three-minute compelling video presentations on the internet. There it is, free for anybody, on the topics, hot-button topics, controversial topics of today. So whether you're dealing with, should we legalize marijuana? What about gay marriage? Or what about abortion? And what about Islam? And those are there, and people in the privacy of their home can look at that because they're browsing, they're looking. And I think that's one way. And the other is by personal engagement with people who, you know, would be of a different persuasion. Just yesterday, I'll be honest with you, I had the opportunity, I had breakfast with a man that is the opinion editor here in Tennessee for the Tennessean newspaper. And we sat down, we talked for a great hour and a half together. And then he invited me to be part of some forum on civility. Well, I feel like that's an opportunity. And I will go, and just like daily, I do my exercise. I'm a mall walker. I walk for 30 minutes. I constantly look for opportunities to engage people, talk with them, ask them, make a comment. I'll say, that's a beautiful baby. Or I'll say, hey, you like Alabama, Roll Tide football. And then just talk with people, just like Jesus was out there.
Yes.
You know?
I agree. I do that, too, when I travel. And God does have a way of giving us divine appointments, you know, seating us next to the people that he wants us to interact with.
Yes, I love that. Well, I wrote a book years ago, Carol, called Divine Appointments, and it was about that very thing. And I can tell you this, I used to work right across the street from the White House at the headquarters for the AFL-CIO. And you wouldn't have this happen today, but picture this. I crossed the street, Lafayette Park. And all of a sudden, this big limo pulls up, a Secret Service guy jumps out, and who's in front of me? At the time, it was Richard Nixon, the president. And I looked, and I said, oh, Mr. President. I said, and I had my Bible under my arm, and I said, Mr. President, do you read this book? And I pointed to my Bible, and he said, well, I not only read it, I quote from it sometime. And I'm not kidding, but I look for
right.
You know, these kind of opportunities, they're out there. But a lot of Christians, and this is what I try to motivate and inspire, you can't be in a silo. You can't be just in a little secluded cave. You know, you've got to find ways in your neighborhood, marketplace, work,
right,
school. Connect with people. If you don't engage with people, then you're hiding. And
well,
then
I think
we're
what's happening, I believe what's happening is that the political left is quite adept at shaming people. And you find now their attacks on white women. There have been several letters written, Dear White Woman, attacking white women for supporting President Trump. And so I believe that it causes people who are more conservative to retreat rather than to engage.
Right. They feel intimidated, and that's where like with your resources and what you do, what I'm doing, we're equipping because, you know, we're not writing off, but let's be honest. I mean, when you look out there today, leftists are, they're basically controlling universities and mainstream media, and now the internet is next. So we've got to be skillful. And there's a verse, you know, Carol, in Colossians 4, 5, and 6. I love this verse. And this was the basis for the Bullseye Challenge. People can go there that are listening. Go to bullseyechallenge.com, and you'll see all these videos that are there with the topics. But it says there, it's a directive, and it says, be wise in relating to unbelievers. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so you know how to answer everyone. So people need to know how to answer. Otherwise, they clam up. Many pastors today, they're intimidated. They sit on the sidelines. They don't want to offend people. And I try to, like you, hey, there are winsome ways, and there are arguments, and I even that term sounds negative. There's presentations we can make. So when somebody says, Trump is a racist, or somebody says, abortion is this and that, and we can say, no, could you help me understand where you're coming from on that? I didn't understand what you meant. And I do that with people all the time. I did it just a week ago with a guy in a place about marijuana. He was talking, it's the same as alcohol. There's nothing. Right. Who cares? And you know what it is. But also, we've got our task cut out.
Yeah, I also think that when we are interacting with people that see us as the enemy, they don't really understand what we believe as conservatives or Christians, that you take a long-term approach because you have to build a relationship with the person first. You can't immediately, you know, just start hitting them over the head with information. And so sometimes, you know, you just start out gently with that smile and how are you doing, interacting with your neighbors, and then when those opportunities open, you go a little bit further or you wait for them to ask you a question about why are you happy all the time? And then immediately you can respond with your answer, and that's a way that you're not challenging them, but they're coming to you to find out information. They give you the opening, and you go forward.
Well, I applaud that and amen that. You know, the author of Treasure Island, Robert Louis Stevenson, he had a great quote. He said when he was alive, he said, quote, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant."
That's a great
quote. Don't judge each day. Isn't that? Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant. And you know what, Carol, I did a little series. I'm not promoting. I'm just saying, look, resources are there. I did something. It's on YouTube. It's five little 24-minute videos. It's called Loving Lifestyle Evangelism. Loving Lifestyle Evangelism. You go, and it equips you to do exactly what we're saying. And I can tell you honestly, it wasn't long ago that I was buying a pair of shoes, and the man was from a Middle Eastern country. And as we were engaging and talking, he revealed, you know, he was a Muslim with his son and daughter. But you know what? We talked, and then when he called me, I needed to go back, and I went back. And then I said, do you ever go to people's homes, like if they invite you? And he said, yes, I'd like that. So my wife and I, we had him over. Then
That's
they
great.
Had us over to their home.
That
and I can tell you this, Carol, this man and his wife, they were converted, they came, they turned, they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. We were there for the baptism. We were privileged to lead them to the Lord, but it was a process. And that's where Christians, some need to just scale back a little bit.
Right.
And just learn to love people. Build some bridges. And then you can talk and engage. And that's what you do so great. And I try to do the same.
Well, we need to take a break. And when we return, I'd like to talk about how the religious groups voted in the midterm elections.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with Larry Tomczak, and we're talking about the culture. And one of the questions that I want Larry to address is how the religious groups voted in the midterm elections. There have been a lot of articles. I've seen a few. What do you make of it? And, well, pretty much, what do you make of the voting patterns? There are no real big surprises.
Right. Well, the first thing is, and I know you would share my heart on this, is in the last major election, we had over 17 million evangelical Christians who either weren't registered to vote, that was about 9 million, or they didn't turn out to vote, 8 million. And then when you go to the broader Christian population of Catholics and others, 40 million didn't vote. So the first thing is, you know, you look at trends in that. We had a great turnout in the midterms, and that's encouraging. We got to keep motivating, inspiring people. But then again, we look, and especially a lot of young voters, I mean, you know, when Taylor Swift speaks out against, you know, in Tennessee, a particular wonderful Christian lady who became our United States Senator, you know, she influences 100 million people.
And I don't know that she did. It doesn't like she did.
Yeah. I think a lot of people reacted to that. But something was going on. And again, do celebrities influence? I don't know. But I do know this, that 64% of young voters in this last midterm supported left-wing candidates and policies. 64%. So that there's a trend there. There's a demographic. And again, it goes back to the need to inform, to educate, and we've got to do it on their patterns. A guy came up to me 2 weeks ago. I was sitting in a restaurant, and he said, "Hey," he pointed at me, and he said, "I never see that anymore." And I said, "What?" And he was friendly. He said, "Reading a newspaper."
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, "Really?" He said, "I never read newspapers."
But well, even if you read a newspaper, they all left-leaning, with few exceptions. I'm writing for one called the Epoch Times. It tends to be more conservative, very balanced. But for the most part, there's only a few newspapers in the country that you would consider balanced or leaning conservative.
Right. And that's where I think the newspapers, the commentaries, the Facebook, whatever we can do, Twitter, and getting the word out. And again, I don't know if you want to go, but I had mentioned this to you, that in America today, there's a particular, and here's a good example, the need to educate. There's a big movie that just broke loose, and oh man, Academy Award, it's going to be, and the best actress, and it's with somebody I've literally talked to 3 times here in the area, Nicole Kidman, she stars in it, and another, and it's a movie dealing with a topic of conversion therapy, the idea of being, you know, when somebody comes out, as they would say, as a homosexual, a lesbian, I'm gay. The whole premise of this movie is you can't change them. That's who they are. And there are places where people are trying, like in a boot camp, mean-spirited, bashing, bullying way to change them. And it's got to be eliminated. And the end of the movie literally says there are still 30 states in America where conversion therapy is allowed.
Do you know what the problem is with that, too?
Tell me.
There are some people, and they're not just young people, that have unwanted same-sex attractions. And the states are trying to bar the people who have these unwanted impulses from getting treatment. And
right.
So that's the bigger problem, is these are not necessarily people that have decided that they are gay. They're struggling, like they're people that may be kleptomaniacs, and they have unwanted impulses to take other people's stuff. There are all kinds of things that we as Americans are struggling with that we sometimes seek help because we don't want to do this thing that we are drawn towards.
Right. Well, that's where we have an opportunity, I think, again. But again, we're going to have to go where they are. If we're saying, well, they got to read or come on this place, I just think if we can plant those seeds out there and let people know that, you know, contrary to the propaganda of Hollywood in this area, you know, portraying a treatment center as some kind of, you know, a sterile boot camp with a cult-like leader and abusive figures and all that. It's just inaccurate and wrong. But we've got to get our message out there that there are, you know, thousands of former gay and lesbians that have changed. We had a lady in our church, 42 years, changed. There's 2 people I know that were in our church. They're happily married now with children. And there are wonderful, compassionate, and skilled counselors who are committed to help those that
right.
are struggling with these attractions, But, you know, again, we've got to get that message out there to counter the deception that just, you know, permeates this culture today in this area and so many. And when we talk of elections, oh, go for it.
One of the ways that, you know, we can do that is through film, but I've known enough about the documentary films and the film industry that if it's put out by a conservative, it's very, very difficult for the movie to get airtime, such as the Gosnell movie, that there was a war against the movie about the abortionists in Philadelphia. And Dinesh D'Souza, his movies have been targeted. So it's very difficult for us to get out our messages. Yet we know that the film industry, that it really does change hearts and minds, and especially young people who are impressionable.
Right, and that's where, you know, some of this can go right back to how did Jesus interact? Yeah, he spoke to the multitudes, and we could say, well, that's analogous to films today. But he was one-on-one, a woman at the well or a person by the side of the road. He engaged people. And what I try to tell people is what you said. Recognize divine appointments. Don't hurry a process. Build relationships. Establish. Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And then when you sit with people and they feel secure and they trust you, you can raise questions about issues that are, you know, when somebody writes off, like a guy said to me a while back, he said, Trump's a racist and he hates immigrants. And I built a relationship with this guy and I was able to talk with him. And I said, you know, you say, now look, Donald Trump is flawed. And in history, we've had people like Winston Churchill, General Patton, Martin Luther King Jr. These were flawed individuals too. But if you look at some policies that are being put forth, let's not assume that they are racist or hate-filled. My dad was an immigrant. He came from Poland. And I say, I love immigrants. I want immigrants, but I want them to come the right way. And we have issues with our budget and the debt and laws that are on the books that are not enforced. And there's times you talk with people, hadn't thought of that. But you can't blast them. You can't hit them over the head, so to speak. And you know what? There is a way also that sometimes you can say, you know what? Since you're interested in this, let me recommend there's a podcast called Be the People that deals with some of these kind of issues. Or Bullseye Challenge. They have videos there that you can select topics if you're interested. And just in the privacy of your home, check out some of this. And you know what, Carol? You hear on the radio, you know, whether it's like Rush Limbaugh, people will call in and say, Rush, I was a liberal leftist. I hated you and that. But my friend told me, and one day, you know, nobody knew it, but I started to listen to you, and you started to make sense.
Right.
And I started to, you know, but again, we got to be, you know, enjoy the process and not try to fast forward everything. And, you know, it's got to be faster, quick, you know, on the internet, faster, you know, take time. Do you take time when you pull into your neighborhood to wave at a neighbor? To ask, hey, how did that surgery go? My wife was mentioning, how's your daughter doing? We've got to stop and be like Jesus to people. That's what Mother Teresa said. She said her order was contemplative. And she said, what we do is every day we take time in the scripture and we contemplate Jesus. And then we go out into the culture to try and find him. And I thought, oh, that's good. I was sick and you visited me. I was thirsty. And we need to see people in that way. But do we take time?
No, we don't necessarily take time. And one of the disadvantages, I believe, that conservatives have right now, it's not a disadvantage, it's information that we need to get across to other people in the culture, is that the political left has totally rejected absolute truth and science. You may remember, you know, that secular humanists, they touted science. And so we didn't have all of this confusion about transgenderism and DNA.
Yes.
And so that seems to put us at an advantage. And some of the facts that I believe would help young people when they're thinking about transgender individuals and homosexuality is the fact that the gender dysphoria is a treatable condition, and that the people who proceed with sex reassignment are more likely to commit suicide after they get their operations, and that the people that are pushing this transgenderism,
It's a political agenda. They're not really pushing what's in the interests of the individuals themselves who are suffering.
Right. Well, I love to go back. I'm a learner like you, and see what happens when, you know, when somebody says, well, I'm from socialism. I think communism, you know, and I say, well, have you done a little study? And there's something called Prager University, and they've got wonderful videos. And I'll say, take 5 minutes, go on, just look up Prager University, and look at the consequences that were reaped by countries, whether it was the Soviet Union or Venezuela today or Cuba, and check out the results. And, you know, Carol, I've been a couple times to Amsterdam. That's the largest city in capital of the Netherlands.
Yes.
And when I was there years ago and I saw all the leftist-leaning progressive ideas, I was watching abortion on demand, euthanasia, infanticide, legalized drugs, prostitutes, lowering the age of consent to 12, all this pervasive pornography and taxpayer-funded sex changes and all of these things. But you know what? When you're there and you see, yeah, people say, oh, they're very content. Well, it's a small little country. But, hey, look at the consequences now when we're talking people that are committing suicide or they're hopeless and, oh, well, we have euthanasia deaths with dignity to deal. And if you can just get people thinking a little bit about some of these things and say, step back and look at the results. Don't just, oh, well, this Cortez lady in New York, she's so pretty and cool and charismatic, and she makes such sense about socialism. Well, I tell you, let's take a look at where is this money going to come from for all this free education and free health care and everything? Well, she says we'll get it from the rich. Well, now, is that what you want? And do you know that when America was established, they tried a socialistic system, and Governor Bradford, after a while, said, this ain't working. We got slackers. They're lazy. Everybody gets their portion. And what you work and what you reap, that's going to be yours. And everything was transformed. But if you can get people thinking, and that's what, Carol, you've done this, and I try, and we've got multitudes we want to equip, give them the resources, and then say, now go out there. Come on, we're called to be ambassadors for Jesus and salt and light in this culture today.
Well, we need to take another break, and when I return, I want to talk briefly about the Southern Poverty Law Center and also give you time to tell our listeners how they can get in contact with you.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
I'm back with Larry Tomczak, and we're talking about the culture, and especially when it comes to the LGBT issue, Christians and how they're treated, and just ways that we can impact the culture. But I wanted Larry to say a little bit about the Southern Poverty Law Center. When I opened the show, I talked about them briefly, and they have been a thorn in the side of many conservatives.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, it sounds so, the title of the organization sounds so prestigious, and there may have been some wonderful things in the past, but those of us that are, you know, have a biblical worldview and are conservative and want to maintain the values of this nation and our heritage, when you look at organizations that represent us, like, let's say, Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, what a wonderful friend he is and what the work they do. And they've been labeled, if I understand this correctly, a hate group.
Yes.
And it's like, what? They're working for the family, for mothers and fathers and single moms, a hate group. And if you go on the website, you see some of these that they've targeted, but it comes down to men and women, young people, you've got to be discerning. And just because somebody says, oh, this is, you know, this is what he believes, this is what she teaches, you've got to dig in and be, you know, discerning and use your powers of discernment and also look at what the scripture says when we're dealing with certain policies and organizations. So for you probably know much more than I do, but I back away when I see the Southern Poverty, you know, organization and their blanket condemnations of wonderful ministries and organizations.
And they're so hypocritical because they don't label Antifa or Black Lives Matter or any of the Muslim Brotherhood or a number of other organizations that, based on their actions, they ought to be included if the Southern Poverty Law Center was balanced when it applied its hate label.
Right. That's exactly right. So it comes back to, folks, you know, C.S. Lewis said Christians have to use their minds and be thinking, and we've got to encourage people. Just because you heard, you know, well, I heard Anderson Cooper said, or boy, Rachel Maddow made some kind of statement last night. I don't believe that. I don't take it at face value. I dig and I encourage people. And I say to all the pastors that are listening, you got to be engaged with this. I beg you, please, so that you're doing as Paul said in Acts chapter 20. He said he did not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. And he says, take heed to yourselves and the flock of God. And we've got to address issues and inform and educate. So whether it's this organization or whether it's a movie like this Boy Erased or whatever, people are learning to be thinking Christians and have a biblical worldview.
Larry, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I'd like for you to tell our listeners how they can learn more about you and the work that you do in our communities.
Thank you. Well, I just encourage the free resources I've mentioned. Go to bullseyechallenge.com and you'll see 30 videos. They're there for you to equip you on topics that are relevant and important today. And then go to Loving Lifestyle Evangelism. There's these five 24-minute videos, and they're dealing with how to be successful in reaching out to people and building bridges and recognizing divine appointments. And lastly, if you want, now my name's a little tricky, but you can go to LarryTomczak.com, Larry Tomczak, and here's how it's spelled. It's Polish, T-O-M as in man, C as in cat, Z as in zebra, A-K, LarryTomczak.com. And there's all kinds of resources, materials there for you. They're gifts, and
thank
we
you.
Do this to help.
Thank you so much,
thank
Larry.
You.
So we've been listening to a lot about America's culture, especially as it applies to the label of hate and how that label has been applied against conservatives and Christians. We've talked about the Southern Poverty Law Center, and there are lots of information that you can follow up on. And until next time, remember that we the people can be the people who change our nation and ultimately our world.